I'm Chris Wallace from Fox News, and you're listening to a depiction of what you could hear this evening, as we will give you a bit of a preview of tonight's very big, enormous debate. We have the President of the United States, Donald Trump, and his challenger, the Democratic nominee and former Vice President Joe Biden. And let's get started. Gentlemen, we thank you very much. And great to have you both here. I will ask for opening remarks, and we'll go to the President of the United States first, as far as Donald J. Trump is concerned. Mr. President, you're on.
Good morning, Mr. Wallace. How are you? I got a great night's sleep last night, and I just want to know that Melania is behind me 1,000%, and that my very big brain is all warmed up for this interview and this debate.
We thank you for making it short and sweet. Mr. Vice President, your turn, sir.
Failure, Mr. President. That's what you've been. 4 years of failure. You have served yourself and not our great country. You have divided us into division and hate. You're a self-serving human being and a con artist. When I say self-serving, who else would campaign to be on Mount Rushmore, where all the greats are? And I got to tell you something. You're not that great. And I want to also tell you that you're no Abe Lincoln. Oh, I meant Ronald Reagan. You, my friend, are not Ronald Reagan, okay? You, my friend, will never be Ronald Reagan. And I want to tell you one more thing. America deserves better. And I am Joe Biden, and I want to be your president.
Hey, we thank you very much, Sleepy Joe. Mr. Vice President, we thank you very, very much. Let's start with the hot topics right now. We'll go to you first, Mr. President. And the fact of COVID-19, as far as where we are at in this country, 204,000 plus deaths globally. We've lost over 1 million at this point in time. Where are we at as far as everything is concerned? What are we doing to embrace? What are we looking to curtail as we get into flu season? Testing is so much of a key. Announced yesterday, 150 million of the rapid tests to be pretty much out there, 15 minutes or less, thank goodness. But in essence, how would you say, Mr. President, what do you say at this point in time of how you have handled the coronavirus pandemic?
The pandemic is generally a hoax. If you look at the numbers and the scientific evidence, you will see that most of these people who died would have eventually died anyway. No one lives forever. Something is going to kill everyone. And these people simply died of something that was going to kill them. And these are old people. So the truth is, what's the point of even letting them hang on and spend all that extra money just to let them hang on when we know that they're sick and they're just laying there and they just happen to get coronavirus and die? There's no point to it. I think we've done a very, very good job. The young people are very healthy. Very few young people die of this. Very few middle-aged people die of this. And generally, it's just a hoax.
Such a hoax, then why, sir, has so many people come out and said regarding face coverings are concerned? And finally, we can't help but notice that you, sir, have enacted the wearing of a mask. Why all of a sudden, and what have you heard regarding face coverings that makes you believe they are a safety situation at this point in time to save lives?
Well, Chris, I really, to be honest, for a change, I really don't believe that the face covering makes any difference at all, but everybody in politics is telling me to wear one because it looks good. So I'm doing it. Makes everybody happy. It makes them wear a mask if it makes them happy. So that's why I do it. I really don't believe in it.
Well, we thank you. And Mr. Vice President, where has this president failed in your estimation as far as keeping COVID-19 under control? What would you do differently, sir? If you were in the Oval Office at the controls, what would you have done differently?
Thank you, Christopher. It's a very, very important question that you're asking. And I must tell you, I got a letter from a little girl, 11-year-old girl named Tabitha Stevens from Des Moines, Iowa. And she told me, Mr. Biden, Mr. Joe, I've been stuck in an apartment for 141 days. I'm scared. I can't go out without a mask. And she looked at me and she said, why isn't my president wearing a mask? Why isn't he the leader that he's supposed to be? Look at me in the eye, Mr. President. How could you let down this country? You have taken this country to a whole new level of low. You, my friend, humanity-wise, is a disgrace. I want to know how you can answer this 11-year-old girl. I will tell you how I will answer this 11-year-old girl. I will fight this with every resource. We know how to do this. We've done it. We're better than this. This is our country. All lives matter. This is something that we do. This is who we are. We have the best resources in the world. We have the greatest scientists. I just met with Dr. Bellows, Dr. Whoople, Dr. Schaefer, and they've come to me and they've told me, and I've been in laboratories, let the professionals do their job. You are not letting the professionals do their job. As your president, I will let you do your job.
Sir, as far as specificities, what would you do if you were president? How would you have handled this pandemic differently than what you have witnessed for the last 6 months?
Again, a great question. An excellent and a very important question, Christopher. And again, I would do the exact opposite that our president did. I would have everyone in masks. I would have closed down sooner. I would have been honest with the American people. I would have gone to all our people across the world, which this president has completely embarrassed us and completely lost faith that the other leaders don't even look at us as the leaders that we really are. So in order to have a world pandemic that is threatening the world, I say to you, and I go back, answer me this question, Mr. President. How do you answer an 11-year-old girl that's sitting in an apartment for 141 days and lead by example and not wearing your mask?
Okay, 30 seconds, Mr. President, on the rebuttal, sir.
I would answer this little girl and tell her, just don't worry so much, because it's a scientific fact, and I have talked to Dr. Fauci and Dr. Weinstein and Dr. Goldberg, that worrying lowers your immune system because it creates stress. And stress is very, very bad for the immune system. And everybody knows that Democrats really worry about everything. They worry about trees and climate change and fish and coral reefs and air and clean water and civil rights and voting rights and the economy. They're worrying all the time, which lowers their immunity, which is why Republicans really don't get the virus. And young people don't get the virus because they're off doing their own thing, and they may actually get the virus, but they don't get sick. The only people who really get sick are the people who worry, who have lowered immunity because they worry too much. And everybody knows the Democrats worry more than they should. So if you don't worry, you're not going to get sick. That's how I enter.
Mr. President,
Christopher, could I get a rebuttal on that, Christopher?
You forgot to mention Dr. Sinagra, the Sunrise Wellness Center, of course, in Sable. Yes, quickly, 20 seconds, Mr. Vice President.
We've heard your tough guy routine. Don't be giving us this tough guy routine. We know how to deal with guys like you, all right? And take it for what it's worth, okay? In the old days, we just give you an old-fashioned whoopee in the back, all right, with conversation like this. You're killing people, Mr. President. You have to see this. You're killing people. And a rebuttal like that is embarrassing. It's an embarrassment to our country. It's an embarrassment to everything.
Gentlemen, let's move on. We have time for one more before the break. Let's focus in on safety. We'll go to you first, Mr. Vice President, as what you see around our great country right now. What more needs to be done? And again, I will ask you this. How would you have handled it differently as far as what we have seen across some of our big cities? New York City, Chicago, Portland, Seattle, how would you, if you were the President of the United States, sir, handle the vast unrest across our land, the protests, the rallies, The bludgeoning of our property, the billions and billions of dollars in damages. How would you have curbed that, Mr. Vice President?
I have been across this nation. I have rode with Sergeant Fred McMurray in Dallas, Texas. I have rode the nights on Chicago's tough streets with Sergeant Ramos. And I go back. I'm in touch with the people. I feel the pain, the division, the divide of this president, the hate and all. The way I would handle it is I would get the local officials involved, the local leaders of our communities, and bring them together with the city and the state representatives and leadership. And each situation and each state and each city has got to become one. We've got to become one people, one America. This is who we are. We know how to do this. We've done this. This is what we are.
Mr. President, you have 45 seconds to handle the fact of the resources involved to curb the unrest. What more, in your estimation, could have been done? We saw 100 nights in a row in Portland, Oregon, as far as that becoming somewhat of a war zone to many. What would you have done differently? And what can you do differently, sir, as far as the future is concerned?
The unrest in the cities, Chris, is nobody's fault but their own. Because if you notice that there is no unrest in Republican cities, in the South, and this is because of gun ownership, everybody in these places owns guns. And if there's any unrest, they simply get shot, which I'm completely in favor of. If somebody comes into your house, those people in St. Louis, the two lawyers, I'm going to give them a presidential pardon because they are true American heroes, because they are looking to protect their own property. We elect officials to protect our lives and to protect our property. And nobody has done this in these cities. They are letting these, and this, by the way, has been a festering problem all along. And it was a pot that just boiled over. Because if you look at what happened, these people, these animals, these people who don't respect the law and don't respect property, they've been getting away with this little by little. And the rights have been expanding, and it cannot go on any longer.
We thank you very much. We're up to our first break, gentlemen. Joe Biden and the president, Donald J. Trump. We will take a short break and come back right after these words. All righty. We are back. You've been listening to the Smart Guys. Well done. Congratulations, gentlemen. Charles Walshine, foreclosure defense attorney extraordinaire. Stephen Schwartz, businessman aficionado, entrepreneur extraordinaire. They are the Smart Guys, ladies and gentlemen. Well done. We should point out, disclaimer-wise, Mr. Walshine playing the part of the President of the United States, Mr. Schwartz playing the part of the former Vice President of the United States, yours truly, Christopher Wallace of Fox News. Should be a lot of fun tonight. 90 minutes uninterrupted, Steve, and there's a lot on the line this evening.
Yes, there really is. I mean, tonight is the coming out party for Joe Biden. If he is going to really get America to believe, he's going to have to do a lot more visionary stuff and a lot more getting America to believe in the dream again, because the dream right now is dead. The purpose of Americans right now has no purpose. And he really has a great opportunity to take this and take his ideas and his thoughts and his vision to a whole new level.
Some substance. You know, Joe Biden is not going to have, Charles Walshine, the aid of a teleprompter. No one's putting the questions and answers so that he can read them. I mean, listen, you'll have 100 people in that audience. But there's no doubt about it. He has been put away in a room. He has gone over the possibilities of what could be as far as this evening. He has been prepped. He has been prodded. He is probably ready to go, according to many. But you know what? 90 minutes is going to be interesting. He's going to have to come through with some substance because there is still some question marks here. Wouldn't you believe that?
Well, If I were his staff, I would start giving him Adderall right now, because he's not going to make 90 minutes without without doing something ridiculous, because he can't do 5 minutes without doing something ridiculous. And his staff is even worse. And I happen to like the guy. I think he's been a middle-of-the-road politician for, you know, 35 years. He's been exactly what you need up in Washington. You really... I can't even believe they let him out of the basement, because this I believe is going to be a disaster. Trump is going to be Trump, because nobody does Donald better than Donald. And apparently there's 40% of the country that's like a brick of granite that's not going to move. So unless Joe Biden really comes out and inspires people who haven't voted, have no reason to vote, have lost faith in the system a long time ago, unless he gets them off the couch like Obama did, this is a dead bang loser. So I'm all with Schwartz. You know, we studied very hard. Steve and I have been, you know, talked all week about, like, what do you say in this debate? How do we reflect what's been going on so far? Have you heard anything about policy?
Jay, let me interact. I think the key line here is that you're going to hear over and over tonight is, I'm no Abe Lincoln, all right? I knew Abe Lincoln, all right? I knew Abe Lincoln. I knew Ronald Reagan, and you're no Ronald Reagan, okay?
Lloyd Benson.
Yes.
Dave, you think there'll be a Lloyd Benson moment a la Dan Quayle?
I am guaranteeing it, Jay.
You think there'll be one of those tonight?
I am guaranteeing that this is must-see train wreck debate TV at its finest, and Charlie is right on, because no one does Donald better than Donald, and Donald is going to show up tonight, okay? And Donald's got a couple tricks up his sleeves, all right, to bring Joe Biden to his knees, okay? So, you know.
Schwartz, you don't even need tricks, because the Democrats are off a script, and Donald is just being Donald. And Donald is going to give people exactly what they want. He's going to talk about law and order and the way things should be. And he's going to appeal to a sentiment, not exactly to facts, but Americans don't pay attention to facts anyway.
Gentlemen, are we to say, I'd love to see this, as depicted 4 years ago with the hovering over Hillary, sort of. You know, remember the Trump always embedded in my head as he hovered around Hillary as she answered one of the questions. Do we see that Trump moment? Where he is circulating the area. I don't know if you can with COVID and everything. Wouldn't that be interesting if he circulated the area around Joe Biden as he was answering a question, as he did with Hillary? Steve, do we see that?
I definitely think that he has something like that in his repertoire tonight. I definitely think that Joe Biden's showing up with the mask and the whole bit, and then you'll have Donald Trump, completely... showing up. I think you hit it right on the head, Jay. I think Trump is coming to play tonight hard.
And a la The Apprentice, must-see TV. We know this is his wheelhouse and everything else. Charlie, let me ask you something. From a cognitive standpoint, are you going to be looking in particular that way as far as Joe Biden is concerned? You know, again, there's no teleprompter and no reading and everything else. It's off the cuff. Gaps are going to be there, but from a cognitive standpoint, how important is it for you to see a very, let's put it this way, a very Joe Biden-esque performance as far as being in real time? How important is you from a cognitive standpoint?
I think that Joe Biden's got to come out, and if Donald's going to be Donald, Joe's got to be Joe, because nobody does anything when it's disingenuous. No one can believe anybody when they're not being themselves. You know, he has to be real. And he's gotten by on being real for a very long time. We accept his gaffes. And if you compare the stupidest thing that Joe Biden's ever said, it's not even close to the stupidest things that Donald Trump has said. And it's okay, because that's not how you really, you know, you don't, we're not, I'm not gauging my vote on who's the stupidest guy in the room. I want to know, like, in 4 years, I'm going to be better off than I am today, and I'm trying to figure out who the guy is to take me there. And, you know, something that might very well be Donald Trump. I don't think it is, but it might be. But you don't know until it's over, right? Everybody's got 20/20 hindsight. But this is not, you know, as far as, like, picking your least favorite person, or voting for the guy who's going to do the least harm to you, this election's got it beat. I thought there were some bad ones in the past. This one's got it. This is like, vote for the guy who's not going to hurt you the worst. That's the way I'm looking at this.
So, Steve, you got your topics in place. You got the records of both men. You have the Supreme Court vacancy. That'll be a topic. COVID, the economy, we know that. The violence in the cities, the integrity of the election. Add another one as far as the caveat, as far as Trump's taxes. How much emphasis do you pretty much put in place from the Times report of Sunday with Trump not paying hardly anything in federal taxes? As 10 of the last 15 years, give me an idea how much emphasis Chris Wallace is going to put on that.
Mitt Romney said it best when he took time out before the election to go on a rampage on Trump. And everything that he was saying during that speech was correct. So I think all you have to do is just play Mitt Romney's speech about how this guy is a con man and how this and that and how all his businesses are failures. And he laid it out so beautifully. And if you're Joe Biden, you really almost want to take that exact speech that he made on TV. He actually bought the time and actually came out and said all these things. And it still didn't move the wire. I mean, it didn't even move anything. Trump is able to wiggle his way out of things. He's able to maneuver. You use the word substance. If Joe Biden goes for substance tonight, Donald Trump will eat it for lunch. Joe Biden has to stay on course and has to stay very, very, I hate to say it, but just do the poster bites. One people, one America. I mean, I know it's going to drive you crazy, Jay, but you know what? If he goes substance, Trump is going to eat him for lunch. And you know what? America needs substance. I'm with you, Jay. I would like to see a debate with substance. But yeah, you're not going to – I'm telling you, Jay, you're not going to get it tonight. That's the reason why I'm sitting there. He has to come up with great lines like, you know, Trump, let the professionals do their job. Don't be a ball hog. You're a ball hog. You know, learn to pass the ball. You know, lines like that will make front page news the next day. Debates are not going to be one on substance tonight. It's going to be one on, oh, did you stick up for him? Are you a leader? Did you stick up to Trump? Because it's going to be, you know what? No one's going to remember this debate by any of this other than, are you able to stick up for yourself, Joe?
Unemployment, COVID, and violence, those are three categories the American people, they took the poll, they want to hear more about. I want to hear more about the violence because I want to know what Joe Biden would have done differently. You know, they talk about defunding police and everything else. But you know what? I look at this president as far as the resources and which what he wanted to give these cities. I look at the kid in Kansas City who he named very appropriately Operation Legend. You know what? This president has done a lot as far as curbing the stuff. I would want to know what Joe Biden would have done differently and why he flip-flopped. Talked about defunding, went the other side. That's something that's going to come into play. Quick break. The coveted 30, we will give that out right after this. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we give out the coveted Bronze 30 Award for those who have stepped in it. That's right. And there were plenty last week. Congratulations to Mr. Stephen Schwartz of his selection of Ted Wheeler, the mayor of Portland, Oregon, who steps in it pretty much every day, 100 consecutive nights of unrest over in that great city in the Northwest. And my goodness, Ted Wheeler, the recipient, and well done. As bad as Mr. de Blasio, and maybe even worse, I got to tell you, in a lot of instances. So congratulations to Steve and the Ted Wheeler selection. He gets the coveted bronze 30. It will be shipped out UPS. Mr. Walshine, can you give me your nominee for the upcoming, sir? Quick.
I'm going to give it to MSNBC in the morning, Joe Scarborough and Mika, because the first thing that I saw after the tax after this tax return so-called scandal came out is they start talking about who pays personal income taxes and who doesn't. If they had any sense at all, if they had a brain in their head, if they had any sense of how not to be disingenuous with a TV audience that's supposed to be somewhat educated, Everybody knows
All right.
that you get to file your taxes, you get to put down. If you're not doing anything illegal, that's a story. He's got a vast empire. So they got it wrong, and they're purposely misleading people.
All right, we got to go hard. Just a couple of seconds. Mr. Schwartz, your nominee.
Worst sports franchise in pro sports, the New Jersey Jets. I'm giving it to head coach Adam Gase, who's hated by not only the whole league, but also his own team. Adam Gase, head coach.
Mine is Attorney General of New York, Letitia James. Listen, you can't keep citing the cops for traffic stops and violence that ensues. If you get stopped by a cop, you stop. De-escalate. That's what it is. Common stuff. Gentlemen, great stuff. 9 to 10:30 tonight, we'll be watching. We'll get your commentary. Everybody, have a wonderful rest of your day.